All right, let's go.
Is that it? Is that the Jimmy Don Show theme?
It is. I just changed it up a little bit. Got a studio track.
I love it. I love it. As always, this is a good deal. Okay, well, here it is, the end of the month.
Yeah, 26.
26 Sunday, the 26th. Been a week since we did one.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a great show. You're going to want to listen to this one.
Uh-huh.
We got a good crowd here today.
We always have a good crowd.
That's right. We got EJ. Good to see you. We got our counsel, Curtis.
Hey.
Our attorney's going to talk to us about some attorney stuff with Roe v. Wade and so forth. Engineer Eric.
Strapped into the Martin Baker.
That's it. Strapped in. And your host, Jimmy, here. And don't forget to write us at jimmydone@jimmydone.com.
Jimmy!
We love you, Jimmy Done. Do we need to get some babes in here? That's what we need. That's the one thing this show's missing are the babes.
Yeah. Well, we'll get some stuff in.
That's right. Well, let me do a couple things here. First of all, let's see. We're going to talk today about the Middle East update. We're going to bring a Middle East update. We've got some local stuff here in Gainesville. We've got elections coming up in about a week and a half.
Uh-huh.
And that's totally not interesting, but we're going to talk about it anyway. No, it's a lot of the same, what we call same old, but there are some things that actually pertain to the world at large. And maybe there's some court, of course, Roe v. Wade is coming up.
Yeah.
Court thing, you're going to want to have young Curtis's take on that. And then a bunch of stuff on some free market, because this is a libertarian podcast,
right?
Yeah, with a little flavor of humor every once in a while. Do want to say hello to the Hanger Dogs. Of course, they came out with their new show. It's HANGARDogs.com. Of course, they did two shows.
Right.
Split in half. Because
one show split in half.
That was good. We always want to make sure you listen to those guys. And
they gave us a nice explanation for our F-14, F-18 deal.
They did?
Yeah, in the end of the episode, when I was questioning why the F-18 didn't actually have the... I was curious as to why the F-18 actually didn't carry or carried more payload than the F-14. And they, of course, you have to listen to their show to get the answer, but it was a great one. We pretty much had it, but they gave us a real good
technical.
They're
pros, though. I mean,
they do this. I mean, that's all the time.
But I mean, they've done that like for a living and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're actually in a hangar. That's the name.
Okay.
No. Also, for a serious, more or less serious thing, I want to make sure that people listen to Free Domain.
Mm-hmm.
FreeDomain.com. That's Stefan Molyneux. He's up there in Canada. And Steph, God love him to death, he's a very logical... He's kind of Spock with a sense of humor, and that's the only emotion he's got. There's some stuff missing, but I love him. Steph's really good. He had a great podcast this last... I think it was yesterday, Friday or Thursday, an article that he wrote. I think he wrote it again for LouRockwell.com. And it
was also good.
Yes, which is great. Right. We listened to Lou Rockwell. Of course, I got a note from Lou the other day.
Did you?
Well, I sent him some money. You know, it's amazing. Except when I send my kids.
Did you get a receipt?
Yes. In fact, it was a receipt.
He'll stoke the fires like a check, right?
That's right. No, I sent him a Ben Franklin.
All right.
And and he sent me a note back and signed it Lou. And no, but a lot of times to Cato and to the Mises Institute and places like that I subscribe to fairly regularly. When they ask for money, sometimes I'll just pop the old bill in there rather than writing a check. And then
where's
our
bills?
Huh?
Where's our bills?
Yeah, well, of course, I don't get any thank you notes either. That's the other little minor thing. At least I get a thank you note from strangers.
We'll work on that.
Download
some boilerplate thank you note off the web and
that's it.
Sign that sucker.
And it automatically.
Exactly, email.
That's it. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. The other one, of course, that I want to make sure that people listen to for really a hoot is this guy, which I've talked about before, is Blast the Right. And that's the rational radical, he calls himself, Jack. He puts out a podcast once a week that usually shows up Thursday afternoons or Fridays. And he's the stereotypical, archetypical, classical lefty, but it's really a hoot,
right?
Because the guy is
so far off.
Well, he is he's like so many lefties in that they have the sayings of the stuff like I want clean water and I want clean air, but they never investigate how the market would figure this out. They want people like him. You know, his crowd to come in there. He figures that if it only people like him were in control, that things would be better. And the sucker part.
Only people like Himmler?
Yes, oh, exactly. And of course, it's exactly right. And the point is that these are people that don't understand the lessons of history. And there are a lot of pithy platitudes that go around with this. And one of them is Lord Acton's admonition that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the simple fact is that anybody, I don't care how, Mother Teresa in power, you know.
Evil Mother Teresa.
That's right. Would turn, you know, and.
The dark side of the.
The dark side
of the vampire.
Well, it is. Exactly. Exactly. They all turn to the dark side as soon as they get some power. And it is intoxicating and hypnotic, no question about it. And that's why you don't want them to have it. And as soon as somebody gets a gun, the next thing you see is, and today, for instance, to give you an example, they declared martial law in the Philippines because there was a protest by some newspaper editor. He published an article that dissed the Imelda, or not Imelda, but the whoever the Marcos or whoever's in control over there, more or less now. And they, you know, they packed the guy off to jail and declared martial law because he said, you know, you people suck. And it's the same.
But did he draw a cartoon of them sucking?
That was the thing. He didn't even draw a cartoon.
See, if he'd drawn a cartoon of her on her knees doing something,
well, could have been
sucky.
That's right. Well, of course, she was a shoe person. We talked about shoe fetishes before. I don't know if you remember this, but
yes, Imelda Marcos was had a shoe fetish.
Well, that's right. Well, of course,
34,000 pairs of shoes or something.
Well,
like that.
And of course, some of them had fuses on them, and of course, it had to do with the foot fetish that we talked about at one time on one of our promos. I think mm-hmm. we've got the foot fetish.
Yeah, it's the
does
promo
not smell
on
like bum. That's right.
Does not taste like bum.
Does not taste like bum. So anyway, the point is that these are people that live their life on very abstract platitudes, and if you even approach them and start to take them down to the basics, it would all fall apart. Anyway, this is the whole point. Listen to
Blast the Right.
Yeah, but Stephen Molyneux up in Canada, really great, very logical person. But it's kind of like Spock, and sorry, the world isn't that way. God love him to death. You know.
I want
to
give a.
Okay, shut up. Okay, Middle East update. Okay,
wait. One final thing. I want to say, get well soon to Ray Roberts, who's very sick, a former libertarian leader.
Here. Unfortunately, he's probably not going to get well. See, he wrote us a note. Looks like it's terminal.
That's if you know Ray, email him and.
Well, yeah, you can. He's still on the thing. He's on a morphine drip.
Ray@rayrob.org, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or I think he's also .com, whatever it is. But he's been our libertarian, head of the libertarian thing here in Alachua County for quite some time. They're going to try and do it all over again. So anyway, moving along to the Middle East update.
Yeah.
Okay, now in the Middle East, what we have are.
We have new Middle East update theme music.
We do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah!
Wow, that's good. I like that. That's
just a prelude. It just leads us right into the Middle East.
Leads us right in. Well, and that's what label is that on? Is that we're going to make?
That's the Brink Brothers label.
That's right. We're going to put out a CD.
We are definitely going to put out a CD.
That's it.
Give us a minute.
So anyway, as you know, several things have happened. One is the blowing up of the Golden Dome globe, whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know that.
A thousand year old mosque.
Thousand year old mosque. Kaboom!
That's going to put a.
Oh. I can't believe anybody noticed that thing. I mean,
right. Yeah, from like 1,000 miles away, glint in the sun.
From space.
You can see it from outer space.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And then somebody tried to blow up their big refinery. Have you seen pictures of that refinery?
Oh, yeah.
It's like
the
big
refinery?
The BIC refinery. That's right.
Oh,
that's where they make the pens.
The lighters.
Yeah, the lighters, right. And but have you seen pictures? That thing covers like 1,000 acres. I mean, it's
the
really
big huge. Refinery. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they foiled
it's
it.
It's a small city in and of itself.
That's right. And then of course along the same thing is the port thing here. You know, Dubai. They everybody's all bent out of shape about the port thing.
Yeah.
And that's.
Exactly. I think the bomb is on the 4 o'clock, man.
Well, that's not all. It is astounding to me on the port thing. that everybody so gets so bent out of shape about it. Everybody's, of course, this is, you notice that it wiped the Cheney shooting right off.
Oh, God, you know, man.
Like Cheney must have just said, this is great news. This is good news. Good news that, for
and,
me.
And the mosque bombing has sort of muddied up the waters as to the riots. You don't know what you're rioting for now. Now it's, well, are you going to riot for the cartoon? No, I'm rioting for the mosque bombing.
Oh, well, that's, no, I'm sorry. I'm here for the cartoon. No, that's over. That's that, three streets
over.
Over,
yes.
Yeah, that's three streets over and down to go
here,
down
you
there.
Dropped your pickaxe.
Yep. So, yeah.
Hey, can I borrow a light, man? I got this torch here. I want
to
get this
Molotov cocktail. I need
that's
to get
right. That's right. I need to get that. In.
So, okay, anyway. We need to have a big meeting to see who's riding where for what.
That's right.
Everybody for the mosque bombing. Over here to the left. Over here. I want you to wear your blue hijab today.
That's right. You should have picked up a color tab at the beginning of the thing.
That's right. I want to. You don't have it. You don't. You're not wearing the right little thing on your. What do you have? We have a holographic all pass.
Backstage,
all pass. Well, your pass is good for the mosque bombing.
Brony, that's
not
right.
good
that's
for
right.
the.
You need to go pay your dues.
That's right. Sorry.
You can't ride over here. You can't ride over here.
Yeah, you're not one of us. That's it. So anyway, they're talking about civil war now. The whole thing's going to break down. And of course, this is typical. I mean, anything that any government just about touches, it turns to dust. I mean, it's
right. Well, and we've invested how many billions of dollars into this thing?
Oh, and more to come.
Right.
You know, it's not even started yet. I mean, they're asking daily for new stuff.
Right. And so all this money down the toilet when they blow themselves apart.
And it is astounding when you think that...
Hey, if they blow themselves apart, that's money well spent.
Well, that's true, too. That's,
all right. You know, maybe. I mean, let's put things into perspective here, okay?
It is amazing to me that just a couple of well-placed nukes would just take care of the whole situation.
Much cheaper.
And cheaper, too. That's right. I mean, that's...
And we have a few lying around. Right. It's not like we're taking food out of my baby's mouth or something.
Collateral damage.
Exactly. Yeah, collateral damage. That's right. They've got this port thing, and, of course, people don't realize...
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, the polls are like, 99.9999% of Americans surveyed say...
Are you crazy?
You completely lost your mind. It doesn't matter what they looked at the deal. It's like, I mean, any idiot could have looked at this thing on its face and said... The American people aren't going to understand. Period. There's no way. I personally
don't understand the big brouhaha. I would let them have it. I don't understand. Here's the deal.
There are
10 million containers that come in like daily.
Right.
And they inspect like one.
No, 5%. Right. Come on.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 to 10, whatever.
Whatever it is. I mean, it would be, it doesn't matter who's running the show.
I don't care. It should never, ever be a foreign power. Period, running any of our shows.
Nah,
our entranceways into our country on American
soil.
They already do that.
You do understand that the reason for this is that the Brits were running the ports.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, those. This may come as a shock to you. The Brits are foreigners.
Yeah. Well, I may not be thrilled that anybody is doing it, but other than Americans.
Not only that, but half the board of directors are Americans on this particular company.
Not only that, there are some Americans here who are un-American. And would you let them do it? I mean, what about...
I had my choice.
But who are you? Oh, Mr. God has come into town. I'm sorry, God has descended. You are going to make the choice.
The deal is that just because the shareholders primarily are Arab, that's the deal. In other words, the company is 51 or whatever percent owned by, or something, over there. But, I mean, the board of directors
as far as I'm concerned, let it happen. The thing is...
No, this is not the Japanese buying Rockefeller Center. I'm sorry. I disagree. Complete.
What do you think they're going to do if they get?
What do you think they're going to do?
Okay,
they could do it now.
They could, but they probably won't. What probably would happen is members of our enemy.
Can you imagine if you were Dubai? Let me interrupt here for a second. Here you are. You're Mr. Dubai, whatever his name is over there, Prince somebody or another,
Emir Sheikh,
whatever. And all of a sudden, Baltimore,
Marshalalad.
Right. And all of a sudden, Baltimore has a mushroom over it. After Dubai has taken over, how long do you think it would be before a mushroom showed up over Dubai? I mean, they have every...
You could avoid the mushroom over Baltimore entirely.
No, you can't.
Possibly.
No, they aren't inspecting anything now.
The Coast Guard is in charge of the security.
The Coast Guard, number one. And number two, the thing is, the government,
this is not racist.
And Homeland Security is so... out of touch with everything. They are inspecting little grandmothers carrying babies on airplanes, 2-hour lines, and nobody's going to bring in an atom bomb in a suitcase on your airplane. It's just not going to happen. Number two, they have a million containers a day that show up in this country, so they investigate half of them even, which they don't. Say they investigate 1,000, 10,000, 20,000 of them. That's 900,000 of them that show up absolutely free into this country, loaded immediately onto a truck and driven to Omaha, Nebraska. So the Homeland Security that witnessed Katrina, they're totally prepared for Katrina, and the place goes down the toilet. They've got $800 million worth of homes sinking into the mud all over the Southeast because they can't, not allowed to do it. You talk about the level of incompetence is mind-boggling.
Okay,
and these are the guys we're going to try. You say that they're going to do a better job than, even if they do a marginally better job than somebody from Dubai, it ain't going to, it's not going to be any more.
Who said it should be the government? I didn't say it should be the government.
Ah, okay, good. I was the one who said on 9/12, I said disband the TSA, the Transportation Safety Authority, and tell the airplane, United and American and JetBlue and you're on your own. Tomorrow morning, you are on your own. And I'll tell you, we'd be safer today, and we'd have lines that would be measured in milliseconds to get onto the airplane. But because of the TSA people who don't give a crap one way or the other about us, and you're standing in line, and as Peggy Noonan wrote a column the other day about, she travels on a lot, and I mean, she's somebody, and because she looked askance at one of these ladies who was doing the investigation, they suddenly decided that she had been singled out randomly for the cavity search. And I'm thinking, these are these people with a little bit of power, and you walk in and you say, "What the hell are you doing?" And look, that is a license to get to strip naked and have a cavity search. Good part is, and I would say this, you could do
it
this.
It was a guy who did it.
Well, the thing about it, the way I look at it is this. I think that if I was a proctologist, I could make some money because you could, while you're doing the cavity search, you could give the guy
an exam.
Right. And charge.
Right. And like a colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy.
Why not? Sure.
No, I'm talking about a simple prostate thing. Yeah. So for a guy, there are a lot of guys. I mean, I'd sign up for that.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if you do the colonoscopy, you might find sacks of cocaine in the intestine.
That's true.
I just threw that out. I'm not suggesting
that. And I'm throwing
that
it back.
You run.
Also, I saw the big thing on the cleanup, again, talking about government versus private industry, the cleanup after Katrina, the tonnage that was moved by the Army Corps of Engineers is 300 tons, and the private people have done 600 tons, and there's mayors of these cities over there going, man, I just wish we could hire those private guys. I mean, they're kicking, and in fact, the Army Corps of Engineers was stopping volunteers from going and cleaning out the thing.
No, that's right. Well, that's typical. That's like the school system. Right. I mean, the teachers union stop anybody who actually wants to teach kids.
Right.
Sorry, you can't do that or you get thrown in jail. So anyway, this all is tied together. It has to do with the way the market works. And I'm telling you, the people, if you trust the market on this stuff, it'll all work out. And I'm telling you that there's no amount of security. And the money we're spending on that is unbelievable. There's no amount of security that anybody's going to put in.
Spending on which?
You mean on Homeland Security and that sort of thing. I'm saying trash it all and let everybody take care of themselves. It's going to happen. Anybody will tell you it's not if, but when. And so I'm saying, well, better now than later.
Well, but now, hold on. We can't take the idea that it's going to happen, it's inevitable, therefore there's nothing we can do about it.
Why don't we just give the keys to Osama bin Laden? Here.
Right.
Well, no,
let's get it over with. Bring the bomb here. I've got an extra one.
Well, there you go. And here's the beauty of it is, if he's there to get the keys, we can probably nail him.
Right.
I'm saying...
We'll set a trap with a big piece of cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be a big...
Well, not only that...
It'll be a camel for Osama, because he's got the eyes for the long legs.
If the keys were covered with, let's say, some white powdery dust that's not cocaine...
Right.
Like they had... What was that?
Rhymes with niacin?
Yeah, well... What about
rhymes
that?
With banthrax?
Yeah, right. Rhymes with banthrax, that's right. They had a big homeland alert because somebody opened up a roll of quarters. I haven't read that whole story yet.
Out of the 15 trillion quarter rolls that have been opened in the past week, one had rice in it. I'm willing to take those odds, trust me.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
Well, in terms of the ports and the security and such, I think that the point that we're making is that if they're only going to inspect 5% of the packages, it really doesn't matter who's doing the inspecting.
I agree. That's exactly right. And it's all, I was watching a couple of the shows, not the morning shows this morning, but I think it might have been the Friday evening after this thing kind of blew up. And anybody will tell you, it's all political. It's all has to do with,
this is
can I
Democrats
get elected? It has nothing to do with security. It is, can I blame somebody? And everybody's been panic-stricken because, of all people, Schumer and Ted Kennedy suddenly moved into the let's defend the country routine to the right of the Bushies, who have typically played the security card every time they get a chance to stay in office. And suddenly, all of a sudden, Ted Kennedy, the communist from hell, has suddenly moved to the right of these guys, and they're going like, whoa! Right. You know, it's once you are painted on the right side of the building like paint,
right.
You know, how do you get...
I was about to say, Ted Kennedy has his own Pantone color.
Yeah, that's right.
He's so red.
Yeah, no, it don't get any redder than I'm telling you. That's it. That's right. That's what Kelvin temperature is that one, you know?
That's actually about 5 million quarts of Jack.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, the point is that it ain't going to happen. It's so funny to me to see what people do. And this brings up a basic point, and that is politicians. Mm-hmm. Politicians, if they're within an aura, if they're within smelling range of something that happens good, they will take complete and total credit for it. But if they have their fingerprints all over something bad, they will sit there and say, no, that happened. No,
that's not my signature. No, I didn't sign
it. No,
that.
It was decided by, somebody else got my fingerprints. I don't
know
what.
That's a committee's fingerprint.
That's not mine. The committee and I I wasn't there that day.
Yeah, you've seen the Hollywood makeup. That wasn't me in there. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, wag the dog, whatever, something. Something else. Somebody else did. Of course, so many of the things that I was over at the store today looking around at some stuff and watching the people come and go, and I'm looking at people are saying this is worst economy in 50 years. You know, Clinton was great, and so forth. Of course, a lot of things happened while he happened to coincidentally be getting his nuts off, or whatever he was doing with the stain mm-hmm. person. Yeah, exactly. So he got to take credit for the surplus, and
that happened in spite of government.
Well, exactly. It is amazing to me to look around when I was over in the shopping center to see how many things happen in spite of everything the government does to stop it, with the regulations, the taxing, and all the cleanup. For instance, like we just talked about, the cleanup or the security, everything that they claim that they're doing, and it's happening in spite of those quote efforts unquote. I mean, it's astounding to me.
Well, a lot of the I think a lot of the surplus came from Clinton's, his time in office. It came from the fact that after 89, 90, we no longer had this huge enemy, in the East, and so
Clinton was, of course, that was under
the first administration.
That was the
really
first, yeah. But that was what they called the peace dividend, and that was when they took apart a lot of the defense budget and spent it on social programs, mm-hmm. and that was called the peace dividend. And then, of course, what happened was, as you remember, in 94, the Republicans won both the House and the Senate. Big upset, huge upset. Newt Gingrich, the whole deal. And that was the State of the Union when Clinton came up and said, ha ha, the era of this famous quote, besides the most famous quote, which was, what is the meaning of is? Mm-hmm. That depends on what the meaning of is. And the second most famous quote was, the era of big government is over, which, of course, it isn't. But he took credit for everything. And I would have too. Who wouldn't? But it was in spite of everything, in spite of Hillary Care, in spite of all the other things, things went pretty well for a while. The market went crazy. People that I know actually went through law school on Intel shares, and as it went and tripled and quadrupled and went up 10 times or something while that was going on. The deal is that so much of this happens in spite of the government. I am always astounded, and we're going to talk about this a little later about the local stuff, is that they take credit for the stuff that they have done everything in the world to stop. And when in spite of that it works, they say, oh, well, I was there. Yeah, that was me. That I did that. It's just on and on. So that's the
how
rant.
Does this relate back to the port stuff?
Okay, the port stuff,
they shouldn't get the keys. That's how it relates back to them. No, don't give them.
I'm saying hand the keys out to whoever says whoever paid the most money.
No, it should never, ever, ever have been an issue, because it should never have come up. No one should ever have said, what, sell our ports to...
They're not selling the ports. They're selling, and I say sell them anyway.
You can sell them.
The Japanese could. Why? Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Why is this any different from the Japanese buying Rockefeller Center or Sony?
Because you're not going you're not going to pull a, 900 megaton tanker up to a Rockefeller Center.
But what if you in a diplomatic pouch decide to bring in ricin? Because they'd had that ricin in the subways over there, remember? And they kill a whole bunch of people.
Right, right.
So they do the diplomatic pouch thing into Rockefeller Center and poison the whole New York.
Well, here's the situation, Jimmy. When you play in traffic, you can survive. You can absolutely survive playing in traffic. However, the longer you play in traffic, the greater the chance that you're going to be struck by a car.
Okay, I'm not playing in traffic.
Well, when you sell or the rights to or open the door to, your back door, basically.
So what you're suggesting, EJ, is that
you're bearing
is
your
that the
belly
person who has management
that may or may not be your best friend.
So what you're saying is that
we got plenty of non-best friends that are Americans here.
We got some great allies. Yeah, Egypt is one. Let's give them keys too.
Well, but so what you're saying is that
they have the money.
The person who has the management contract on the ports is going to be in charge of the security. That's a loose
tenuous connection.
To believe that the organization and the management and the administrators that are running the percentage of those ports, those piers, are not going to be involved in the security. I mean, deeply involved in the security. I think is a little.
Okay, so are you telling me that there is a higher risk?
Yes.
I
don't think you have to finish that
much. How much higher can it be?
More than 95% of the stuff.
95% of the stuff coming in doesn't get inspected anyway. So now it'll be 96%, or what? I mean, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about
Dubai.
I
mean, that's Dubai. It's not. I mean, they're Muslim, but they're not. It's not Iran. I mean, it's
no, and it's not. It's not. England.
They have a vested interest in making sure the ports are secure. I can tell you
now.
And
there are individuals.
They have more of a vested interest than our locals.
Don't they get
the majority
60%
of
their revenue from port from shipping?
Yes, in fact, they have them all. They have something like 120 ports around the world. Yeah. They wanted that whole. They got all the money. Look, these guys got money to burn.
Yeah.
And what are they going to buy? They're going to start buying stuff like that. That I don't blame them for that. What else you can do with the money?
I'm not suggesting that the individuals running that company directly are the individuals we have to worry about. They're the ones who are going to be passing, bombs, allowing bombs to go through. But certainly individuals that are entrenched in that organization. And that's just my point. At this stage, you don't want to allow the brother of your sworn enemy. And these people, they're not going to rest until they're dead or we're dead. And that's
I say
we're giving the brothers the keys.
I say
do.
Get it over with.
Sell. Okay.
Yeah. Sell it and then say it breaks national security and then take it back and keep the money.
That's the other thing. That is the other thing. I've always said
they have enough.
We talked about this one time before. Anytime foreigners want to come over here and buy land, I say let them have it because they ain't going to take it back home. I mean,
if they want to take that land and put a runway which enables them to land planes that don't necessarily have to be inspected.
Listen, look at this. Even Walmart, who is a local Midwestern company, can't put a store here in town because people are all upset about it. If you think for 2 seconds somebody's going to put a runway, I don't care what you're talking about, the local council would say, I'm sorry, it's not zoned for that. You can't open up a Starbucks here without going through some massive regulatory thing. What are you? Are you dreaming?
But we're just going to hand these ports over.
I say hand them over. I say let them have it. Buy it out.
I say let them have it, too.
The point is
let them have it at the tip of an ICBM.
Okay, let's move along. Mm-hmm. Okay, locally, we're going to have some elections here. There's a couple local things that have happened here in Gainesville that I think are interesting, and they pertain to a lot of different things. We got some local elections that are coming up. It's for the.
Oh, wait. I wanted to say one more thing on the Middle East update.
Yes.
I just want to say that if the situation deteriorates into a civil war over there and the country fractures, that will be the result that the libertarians were warning the big parties about in terms of invasion.
Well, I agree. I mean, yeah. And of course, that
it's going to be a lot of I told you so if that's what happens.
And, of course, unfortunately, I told you so doesn't cure anything. I mean, people don't learn. And let me put it this way. If the next week the same situation were to show up in Syria or in the Philippines or in Bhutan
Iran.
Or Buriran, they would do it all over again and not look back. They would say, this time it's different.
Well,
it's always, oh, this we'll do it. We learned our lesson. They never learn their lesson.
Well, for those of us who know, we will be clamoring
the
opposite.
Yeah, that's right. That's what Jimmy, by the way, is going to take a month off. We're going to have to Skype in, but I'd want to give our listeners a warning. In about 3 weeks, Jimmy's taking off for Costa Rica for a month, and he's going to try and go down there and learn how to hablar español. You know,
bueno.
Speak. Yeah, bueno, that's it. So anyway, right. We'll see if that's coming
so
along.
What's so what's next?
Okay, next is, again, the local stuff. We're having some elections here, and I forget. I think it's county commission. I'm not sure. I forget which one it is. Doesn't really matter. It's at large, and a couple of different ones are happening.
How come they don't do these on an election day?
Okay, there's a reason for that. Of course, it's interesting here in the United States how
because
we always...
Because they're idiots.
Well, there's that. I wasn't even going to say that goes without saying. That's why I didn't say it.
Well, I'm an obvious kind of guy there, Jimmy Dunn.
They have what they do. Here's the reasoning. We don't do it on Tuesday, November 3rd, or whatever that Tuesday is, because the local elections will be confused with the national elections, and people are so stupid, they'll get confused.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, okay.
Gainesville's the only city in the country that doesn't hold elections with the rest of the nation.
Oh, no. Tons and tons of people do this. They call them off. They're not off year. They're off November elections. They do it all the time because they say, well, we want you to concentrate on this election.
Concentrate on forgetting about when
this
election is.
Well, they do. And, of course, there's good news and bad news. Well, the way it works is, and we're having a couple of referenda coming up here, and what happens is we'll have a turnout of somewhere between 15% and 20%, more than likely, of the electorate. On a November election, we get somewhere upwards of 50%, especially on a presidential year.
Really? That
yeah, we get on a presidential year. Now, on an off year like this in 2006, we'll probably, I'm guessing, we'll get around 30%. But this Tuesday, a week from now, we'll probably get between 15% and 20%, which means about half of those people, or 8% of the electorate, will be making a decision for the entire county of 230,000 people. Okay, God love you. And this is the kind of thing. Here's the kind of thing that happens. And in the headlines today, it says something's wrong with something we call the Choices Program. One of our commissioners, her big deal was the poor people. Poor people, gosh, we got to take care of health care for the poor people. So what we did on and off another off year election, they passed 0.25% sales tax to fund poor people's health care. These are people that can't afford it. They are working. They're the working poor. This is the famous thing. We're going to take care of the working poor.
Doing all they can do, and all they need is
a little shot in the arm. So this 0.25% has raised $9 million. They determined they did a great survey. They paid a lot of money to do a great survey. They have 14,000 people in the county out of 230,000 that could qualify for this health care, and it would take $9 million. And by God, they're going to live to be 1,000, and we don't know, or at least 100, and they're going to be healthful people, and they're going to be propagating like crazy, and who knows what all. Okay, so far, how many do you think have signed up? 14,000 available, $9 million in the bank.
360.
You wish. 66 people have signed up so far. 66 people have signed up. They have spent, out of the $9 million, that not only have 66
spent
people...
Spent $10
million. No. They've spent nothing. It's in the bank. No, you're right. Normally, and you're exactly correct, I would have expected
calling
that.
Calling you for a check to make up the difference.
Yeah, exactly. That would have not surprised me. But it turns out that the money's sitting in the bank, and they're trying desperately to figure out, not going to give it back, of course, because 60... But they turned down over 300 people that have said, I need the... They turned them down because they didn't qualify. Turns out in order to qualify, you have to go through six or... You have to jump through some hoops. So they are paying the people, of course.
They do stuff that's strikingly similar to getting a job.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, of course, where the money is being spent are on the poor people. No. It's the people who are doing the interviewing. I mean,
those individuals administrating that $9 million.
The administrators. So what they wanted to do was
each month that goes $9,800,999.
Then
next month is
laugh. So here's their solution. The solution is, oops, What we want to do is we want to take $100,000, a mere pittance, and spend it on newspaper and television advertising to try and recruit people of the 14,000 who are eligible. Gosh, we made it. We passed it. Everybody voted on it. Of course, not everybody voted on this thing. and we gave a party, and nobody showed up.
Now we have all this food left over.
And we have all this food left over, and we have to find a way to, before it spoils or before we find some other use for it, they have two things. They want to spend $100,000 on, they want to do is they want to hire some people, like me, I guess, to go out and beat the bushes for people who would qualify for this stuff. Then they can pay the doctors, not the person, mind you. The person still stays the same, but they'll be able to go to the doctor and get some health care, new tooth or whatever they need. I don't know. Whatever's covered by this stuff. And so they want to recruit. They want to...
more.
Death by dentist drills.
Marathon man. Okay. And so that's number one. But that's not enough. What they want to do is 14,000 people being eligible is not enough. They want to expand the eligibility requirements, and now it's 150% of the poverty level or something like that. They want to make it 200. They want to make sure there's 30,000 people eligible for this.
I have a solution. Now, it looks to me that this 9 million by 14,000?
Yeah.
Isn't that about $6,500 a person?
Can't be that much.
Is it $650 a person?
Probably more like that, I'm guessing.
Okay. Well, that's not very much.
Still, it's a chunk. I mean, let me tell you, I'd almost rather have them do that than anything else. That money goes back into the community. I mean, basically, you sign up. If you're one of these 14,000 people, I'd give them a check. I'd distribute the money that way and disband the program. Boom, done. One of the things that you do have, people always talk about the trickle down, and they're so disparaging of the trickle down theory. That is to say that you give money at the top, rich people, and they spend it, and it trickles slowly. It trickles down to the poor people, and finally, somebody with a minimum wage job, you know, gets the money. Well, see, the beauty of this is, this is called the flood down theory. This is you take the $9 million and you bypass the rich people and you hand it directly to the poor person.
So they can turn around and give it to the rich people.
Of course. Who else are they going to give it to?
Or Tom, liquor store.
I say exactly right. I say the liquor store people could do well. The cocaine people could do well. No problem.
Prostitutes will do well?
Well, that for a while.
So they're going to expand this program.
They're going to expand the program. That's their solution. I mean, again, it's
they're going to expand it to include people who aren't poor now?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They are going to expand to help the poor to people that are not poor. I mean, never would they admit that they've made a mistake. Never would they admit that the program is not something that we
desperately need.
That they desperately need. I mean, here is the market has told them flat out, I don't want the program. Even though you have the money, I don't want your money.
It's identical to the FEMA bill problem.
Yes, exactly. They have $800 million worth of, I mean, I've seen them, $800 million worth of trailers all over the Southeast sinking in them that are rotting, going to hell. It's not like anybody couldn't use them. I have a personal friend that I would, if I was tempted to hire a truck and go down and steal one for a friend of mine whose house burned to the ground, but he didn't qualify because he wasn't in the hurricane. And of all the people that could have used something like that, this would have been the guy. Anyway, never would admit the program. What they do with the program is, if it fails...
Make it bigger!
Double it! That's right.
If it doesn't work at this size, it must work at twice the size.
That's exactly right. And I mean, it is astounding to me to watch this go.
It is amazing.
It is. And again, they do it. And even when you call them on it, they say, well, you don't understand. I do understand. I understand the way the market works. And people, the thing we've talked about this before, the ultimate democracy is in the food store. You go in, everybody gets a vote. Sure, some people have more votes than others, but wait, how would you have it otherwise? The simple fact is that a box of cornflakes is a box of cornflakes, and I don't care if you're Bill Gates or if you're the poorest person on this planet, it's still $3.28.
Tastes the same.
It costs the same. You still get to vote. You still get to affect all those things. And the simple fact is that they've got 7 or 8 or 9% of the people here in the county that are deciding for the rest of us, and then when the votes are counted, finally, out of the 14,000 people, 66 people showed up and said, "Yeah, okay," and the rest of them said, "Screw it, I don't need this."
So, are any of the resolutions that are on for next week have to do with this?
No, they're not doing the resolution on the power plant. Did we talk about that? The power plant last
week? That was in the paper. One of our erstwhile libertarian
couple people have written in about the power plant, and that is that they're not satisfied. Here locally, I think, did we talk about this last week? The power plant is owned by the city. And so, of course, the city gets millions, the profit, quote-unquote, since we're all shareholders. I mean, the people that pay the electric bill are all shareholders. And our money, a lot of our money that we pay for electricity, goes back into the city coffers, into the general fund. So, obviously, the city doesn't want to sell the utility, because they get to scrape off what would be quote unquote the profit.
And now that utilities and I mean these well, is the most profitable time ever. So isn't the same happening here with GRU? I wonder.
Well, they are. But what's happening, as is, we've talked about, 327 families a day move to Florida, and surprise, surprise, I'm not sure exactly why, some of them are actually moving to the Gainesville area. So GRU has to put up some more plants. They have to expand or rebuild. I mean, the fact is, we will obviously at some point in time in the future run out of electricity, and it takes.
And once it's gone, there's no more.
That's it.
We'll have to steal it from our neighbors.
Well, we are on the
buy
grid.
Buy weapons now.
That's it. Yeah. We're on the grid, so we can do that sort of thing. Anyway, they're trying to decide what kind of a plant to put up here, and we have a big coal plant, and they want to put another one or redo it, and they want to do more coal. Well, the Enviro people are in here, and they're saying, no, we need to do, some people say we need to do biomass, which it turns out is actually more polluting in a lot of respects than anything else, or, you know, recycle this.
There's a biomass for you.
That's right.
Actually, it's funny because San Francisco is entertaining the idea of collecting people's animal waste to convert to power. It's like 4% of all waste in San Francisco is gay guys' dogs or something. And so they're going to scrape up, you know, or they're going to get all this poop together, I guess, and recycle it sort of like a separate bin, and then they're going to have a biomass, you know,
energy. Well, is that going to smell good?
Yeah, could you imagine working there? We're going to burn up dog poop, you know.
Well, you know, it's
for our power plant.
Did you ever see the third, I think it was the third Mad Max movie? Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome
that was the one.
They had the pigs down there with the methane factory. I don't know if dog poop.
This
has
is
much.
An actual thing. I mean, it was actually on the.
That's San Francisco.
They can do whatever.
Road Warrior is real.
Yeah, that's right. Road Warrior is real.
I mean, but they actually do have machines that convert pretty much anything to fuel. And
it's just a matter of the cost,
right?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's the point.
That's one of the problems with corn. I think
is that hemp seed oil.
It's not a matter of necessarily cost, as it is, it's just cheaper to do it the other way.
Right.
In other words, like when you
but the market figures it out. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, that you may not like it. That's the thing. People think that they're smarter across the board. They think they're smarter than the market. Now, here locally,
but what if the cheapest way is not the best way?
Trust me, it will be.
Yeah.
Because
let me tell you,
as soon as you run out of coal, you're going to be going to something else.
It may not be, but who are you to decide? What if you're wrong? The point is, what if you're wrong? And when governments are wrong, they never admit their mistake, and they've got the guns to enforce their wrongness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at least in the market, if Coca-Cola comes out with a new Coke and it's wrong, who got shot? Nobody. They withdrew it from the market.
Someone found a hypodermic needle. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, but they did. In fact, there was it was one of the Tylenol. They found, you know, poison in one of the thing. What did the guy do? They withdrew every single Tylenol pill in the universe, trashed them, made a whole batch new, and put the childproof special security tops on them. I mean, that's what the market does.
And it only killed like 3 people. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you, when you figure 1,000 people a month or more than that, 1,000 people a week die on the highways, that's what. Anyway, I've digressed slightly.
Technology is going to solve all the power problems here pretty soon anyway.
That's the other thing. Well, of course, that's what the Enviro people are saying here locally. They're saying, wait a minute, what we need to do is to enforce conservation here for 10 years, and by that time there will be another solution that will not be as polluting. Now, and they're not satisfied with the solution that the city came up with. Now, the city, remember now, owns the utility. So the utility guys, the utility experts, the head of the utility, the division of the city has said, look, we've investigated, we found out we need to build a new 220 million megawatt plant, And here's how we plan on doing it. We've got a coal thing, and we can do some oil or whatever it is, however we're going to do it, and it's going to cost this much money, and it'll last for 50 years, yada, yada, yada. Well, the city said, no, you know, what we need to do here is we need to get some independent consultants in, because we don't believe you. We know you're in the power business, but you may have some kind of vested interest because you guys want to keep your job. So here we in the city, on the city commission, we don't care about our jobs. And but
all we care about is the public good.
That's right, the public good, that we're noble Mother Teresa, all of us people here, and we care only about the public. So we're
going to
spend $345,000 of taxpayer money to find out what the good solution is.
It's a hell of a consulting fee.
It was, and in fact, the consultants came by and they said, yep, sure enough, here's an option, here are two options, or I forget what they came up with. Doesn't really matter. They gave this monumental 40-pound or 10-pound or whatever it was.
Next question!
But they came up with the options, and the city said, and we don't like that one either.
Right.
So then the Enviro people came up and they said, you guys are full of crap and you need to do this, that, and the other thing. And if you're not going to do it, what we're going to do is we're going to put it on a referendum and we're going to let the voters decide what kind of power plant we should or shouldn't have. And a letter was written to our local paper here. Actually, several letters were written saying, wait a minute, you're going to have the future of Alachua County, whether we're going to be blanketed with coal dust and puke all over this place to a depth of 19 feet or not, decided by yes or no signs on somebody's lawn. I mean, if you can't believe somebody who has spent collectively, you've got 1,000 years of energy expertise that comes up with this thing, you don't like it, and now you're going to trust some guy with a sign in the middle of the street waving it says, vote yes on number one. I mean,
a sign in one hand and the boot in the other one, taking donations for the for the cause.
For the cause.
Because.
I mean, it is insanity to put something like this. Now, don't get me wrong, the city might make a mistake, but I remember when I had some Russians over here, I toured them around the city. They were business people from Russia, and they thought that our buses here ran on electricity. Why? Because they weren't spewing black clouds of smoke out of the smokestack. The fact is that this power plant that they're talking about here, they're talking about people, you know, like the Sudan, people laying in the street dying because of the mercury, the visible mercury, liquid mercury flowing down to a depth of 4 feet.
Union carbide indoors.
Yeah, that's right.
Mercury,
that's right.
River running into the
mercury
down
mercury creek. And having people force it down your throat and burning the mercury so that the fumes, burning mercury as the fuel, and so that the fumes will drift over Gainesville and people will, that's what they're talking. It's either that or nothing. Okay, so the point is that what we're talking about here is the difference between one, you know, micron of pollution per day versus a half or two or three or nine. I mean, it's relatively clean here. It's amazing how people the obvious is taken for granted. You don't understand. But if you read it in the newspaper from the Enviro people, if this plant is built, within the next day, it'll look like
London.
London in the 1980s,
Vesuvius,
or it'll be like
Pompeii.
It'll be
Gainesvillians buried.
That's right.
Cold
that's
sick.
Right. And it'll be
overnight.
That's right. Overnight,
as you
Pompeii.
Sleep in your bed.
That's it.
Archaeological dig 3,000 years later.
That's it. What happened? Well, they built a new power plant, and the next day, it up and it belched out like Mount St. Helens.
Right.
It was Mount St. Helens. We're building our power plant. Yes, it's made of Mount St. Helens lava.
Right, yeah.
And what we're doing is
from magma. You know,
that's
we drill
right,
straight
magma,
down to the
right.
crust.
It's from magma.
Magma, exactly.
It spewed out crap so fast it shifted the Earth's orbit.
And that's right.
And that's
why the people on the other side of the planet were upset because. And the it turns out that the moon now rotates.
The sun has been blotted out.
That's right. The sun has been blotted out from the right. because of our power plant. And that's
where we got the power from.
That's right.
We had a cable that ran straight there.
That's it. Exactly right. So anyway, that's what they're worried about is the extinction of life on Earth as we know it because of the power plant. That's
one great thing about the fact.
So they're going to let the voters decide, and they're going to figure it out.
One great thing about the environment becoming more and more valuable is that as it does, people will come up with more and more ways to clean it up.
You think? Well, it is amazing because years and years ago, when it was a little more, it might have been a little easier because there were fewer power plants and things that were spewing out stuff. But in the old days, there was a time when if your apple orchard was coated down with something, you could figure out where it came from and go sue the guy.
That's been prohibited by regulations.
Yeah, right. The government's in there telling them they're going to protect you, and of course they don't. So
if they can't protect you, too bad. You used to have a tort.
Right, exactly.
You could sue them.
I thought that was still in place. You had to be directly affected.
A lot of times EPA has preempted those things by saying that they're going to handle it themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. It used to be that you can, and actually it's getting more and more easier to find out where the stuff came from with the special mass spectrometers and stuff like that.
I mean, super detectors everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you could find out the guy who blew his nose,
right,
and where that stuff
came.
They
have them all. Like, you go to New York City, you see them all taped up on the... they detect everything, every reagent agent known to man, yeah. and they're all wirelessly connected up on high on the lamppost, and if they have, like, any kind of a release... You know, they all transmit signals back to some
What my point is this, that I understand that they've got smog in L.A., but here in
Gainesville... These things detect, anthrax and ricin and poisonous stuff.
But
it's
the hyperbole that people go for. And again, these people are screaming that the government needs to take over. There was another letter here about along this exact same lines, had to do with polluting the rivers. And this girl writes in and she says, the EPA and the DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection here locally, our state, they're letting everything go. They're letting the St. John's River and all the rivers around are getting totally polluted. And her solution is to have another government agency take it over. I'm thinking, hey, bitch, you don't quite get the picture here. That's the problem. And if they sold off the St. John's River, I can guarantee they should sell it to Disney or somebody and let them. And I'll tell you right now, you think Disney let that thing be blown? No way, Jose.
It'd be made of chocolate.
Oh, man. In a second. Let me tell you, you would be able to go in and drink that water if Disney owned. And that's what they...
You pee in it.
That's it. No. It would be,
nanobots cleaning it up
it would be
swimming up your
urine. Right. That's it. That's right. You would pee distilled water. That's it.
I love it. What do I sign?
That's
Come
it.
On. Let's call Disney.
So anyway, that's mostly the local stuff. Anyway, as far as the commissioners are concerned, they've got the eastern side commissioners. They're two black people running, and they're running on. They're pulling out all the stops out on the race card. We're going to keep the east side of Gainesville in near poverty so that I can stay in control, kind of thing. If we can, we need to get money from the west side of Gainesville so that we can stay on the east side. Of course, they've been doing this for 100 years, and nothing's changed, and nobody gets the picture. But at least the people that once they get on the commission now. Unfortunately, they do. Our term is limited out on some of this stuff. But basically, they're on the east side of Gainesville, they run the race card. And on the west side of Gainesville, they run, are you going to have business or no business? And that's... The Gainesville Sun has come out and said that this time they're for business, which I think that somebody had a brain fart over.
Does the Jimmy Doan show endorse any of the candidates?
No. Well, yes, actually, Jimmy Doan does endorse. Once again, you're talking about, and I love the guy to death. Tony Dominich is running, and if you get a chance, you have to vote for Tony. The other guy and he's running at large.
Is this Tony?
No, this is not Tony. Tony with the nose like this? Yeah, no, this is not Tony. Anyway, but Tony's far and away the better candidate. I'll vote for him, and I hope everybody else will, too. And they're stumbling all over
Even
my mouth.
Even if you hate us, vote for him.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say vote against everybody.
One of the things that I'll never forget, a girlfriend of mine came up one time and she said, vote for so-and-so because he's the lesser of two evils. And I said, well, that's still an evil, but Tony's a good guy and he'll do the right thing. Okay, moving along. Supreme Court. We need to get Curtis in here on the Supreme
Court. Roe v. Wade, Supreme Court. There are two challenges coming up to this right away. They didn't waste any time.
No.
So there's one actually at the Supreme Court right now, which they actually held off to give him a chance, to give the new guys a chance to get seated.
And it was like they'd been seated for like a minute.
Yeah, here's your case, Roe v. Wade.
And boom.
And
well, actually, I think the one that they're – that one I don't believe – is that a real challenge to vote Roe v. Wade or not? I think that's the one that is the partial birth abortion one, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, Roe v. Wade is a little more sweeping than that.
It is. It's much more so. And I think that this one that's up there right now, you know, it may go through.
Well, it got tossed once before.
Yeah.
It was a 5-4 decision.
Right.
And that was like 6 years ago or something. It got tossed.
Yeah, and Sandra Day was on the 5 side.
Right. So now we don't know.
Yep.
So now, why don't you explain
that? Okay, well, let me explain. You can explain it probably better than I can. This is not a complete repudiation of Roe v. Wade, but what?
Actually, I can't.
Okay.
I can explain. I know more about the newer case that's coming up.
Well, the newer case is almost, I mean, is ridiculous, right? That's the North Dakota thing.
Right.
Yeah, but that's
South Dakota.
Is it South Dakota?
Yes,
okay,
it is South Dakota. Dakota.
Whatever. It's, yeah, okay.
And that's no abortions unless the mother's life is in jeopardy, period.
Right. Right. Period. Rape, yep. incest, nothing.
Your dad's.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Right.
And it's your.
Yeah, which, you know,
take it out.
How did those legislatures come to that conclusion? I mean, it creates the bizarre result that you could have a rapist get what they want. I mean, they rape somebody, mm-hmm. they impregnate the person, mm-hmm. and they go to jail for a few years, mm-hmm. and then they get out, and they've got the kid.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, and there's nothing that the victim could do about it. The victim could not abort in case of a rape. And that, to me, is
well, of course,
beyond.
Well,
it's they still can't cheaper than the standard way of having
one
kids.
Of course, like you say, this typical, you know, idiots are up there. And, of course, what you do is you trot across the border up to North Dakota and get your abortion. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I like happen to like states' rights is that you can always vote with your feet. That's one of the problems that I have with federal laws is that you can't vote with your feet. And at least with state laws, and that's what we've lost in this country, is the plethora of states' laws where you could at least vote with your feet if you had to. But now
borders are still open. You can vote with your feet.
Well, yeah, but there's an inertia involved. And, of course, one of the reasons Jimmy's going down to Costa Rica is to open up the vistas to, you know, a billion other people that Jimmy can communicate with if he has to.
So the bottom line, though,
I'm talking to you with Skype from we don't know where this is, but I'm on the
from outer space.
Outer space.
Yeah, we will start broadcasting in space as soon as we get our Jimmy Don satellite up there.
That's right.
But in terms of this, I think they're going to probably toss it and just claim that Roe is precedent.
See, that's nothing that scares me. We talked about this before, and they tried to pin those guys down, both of them. About precedents, you know, how do you feel about precedents? And they danced around it, as somebody said, the dance of the seven veils, to try and say that they would or wouldn't, and who knows what. It's all a bunch of crap. But the deal is when you find Scalia bowing to the what was the president?
Wickard versus
Wickard in the Kilo, in the Raich thing because it was precedent. I won't say he lost all respect for the man, but I'll tell you, that was a big downer for me. And there are times that you can talk about precedent all you want, but...
Well, precedent is supposed to be a big one.
I understand that, but on its face, Wickard was wrong.
And Roe has the same fatalities.
Well, the other thing is that how long does it have to be a precedent before it becomes embedded? Does it get deeper and deeper
no,
and deeper?
No, not really. It gets sort of embedded. The more cases that overlap and address peripheral issues and things like that.
But one of the things that...
But they can still be thrown out entirely. Whole lines of cases have been thrown out in the past. We've seen it happen in the negative way. I saw a whole line of cases get thrown out in the 30s that were good precedent, and they changed the philosophy, overruled everything. And
late 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That was the New Deal thing. When I talk about, just to back up for a second, when I tell you about this guy, Jack, whatever his name is, at Blast the Right, his favorite president, and everything that Roosevelt did was just, you know, God came to this planet and blessed us with the New Deal. And you see, that was the kind of thing that, unfortunately, people... Roosevelt threatened to pack the court, and everything went downhill from there. So anyway,
yep.
To back up, the thing is apparently this one that the Roe v. Wade thing that's coming up that has been accepted that they're going to hear that particular precedent that they're maybe going to overturn is only 6 years old. In other words, that was the case that was thrown out, or that they upheld when Sandra Day was the fifth out of nine.
Right,
was 6 years ago. Somebody said.
Yeah.
So the question is this time are they going to you know, quickly, can they quickly go back? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they easily could. Until some of the justices find the actual basis for Roe, that is to say, they didn't really identify the good constitutional backing for that when they originally did Roe, which we have identified as the Ninth and Tenth Amendments.
Right.
And if they would bring those out, then they could lay a good foundation for the Roe case. Being, you know, that there is a right of privacy in the Constitution, that it's in the Ninth Amendment.
Right.
So they should expound upon that, but I'm not sure that they're going to get there.
We need to write them a letter or
an amicus brief.
Yeah, an amicus brief. Well, you've done briefs before. It seems little enough to ask that we could write one. I've been meaning to write to Scalia and ask him what happened on the dam and what drug was he taking on the day.
I want some.
Yeah, because I could use some of that. Exactly right. I mean, what was it about Raish that, you know, obviously that day he had been, I think he must have been on an alien spaceship and been replaced by a pod person or something that particular day. I have something I can.
It was opposite day.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He walked. You knew something or not when he walked backwards into the
courtroom. Right. He had his clothes on backwards.
That's right. And he said goodbye as he walked in.
Right.
Yeah, you knew. you knew he had a problem that day. That's right. All right, moving along. Anything else on the legal front that we need to cover?
No.
Okay. The only last thing that I can think of that we did want to just mention was, again, called government meddling in the market. There's we talked about this, I think, a long time ago in one of our early podcasts. Has to do with the legislator people is coming down and saying, well, we ought to have a la carte
pricing for cable.
And the cable companies, of course, are fighting it, and people are saying, well, the reason the cable companies are fighting it is because they make more money if they bundle. In other words, if you have to buy 40 or 50 sure. channels at a time, and the senators and the House people are saying, no, we happen to know through some super secret top probationary marketing under the table type thing that if you were able to offer a la carte pricing, that is to say people would only take the channels they wanted, that you would might not make quite as much money, but it wouldn't break you, and the customer would be much happier, and we're thinking about passing a law to that effect. And so they want to, you know, basically want to meddle in the market. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know. And I, until about a year ago, I was one of those people that got the super basic. I mean, this is the
you get better. You get better reception if you have a fork on your antenna.
That, boy, than, I'm telling you, would do. No, seriously. And this was the super basic that they don't tell you about. Basic cable here is like 40 channels or something.
Right.
Okay, they have the poor person's basic cable, which includes like the three networks, 9 shopping centers, two religious channels, and C-SPAN, and
no public,
and one public, yeah, right. And that's right, has to include that. But mostly it's the shopping channels and the that sort of thing. Anyway, so that was the cheap one, and I used to write them every month and say, look, if you ever give me a la carte pricing, then I'll sign up. Well, it turns out that I had to get the big thing because Grandma's moving up here. And she wants to see the Weather Channel.
Right.
So I have to say...
So you've got
to
get 900 channels
to get the Weather Channel.
Now I have another 14 shop-at-home channels in order to get the Weather Channel.
However, right. Now she can check the weather in Turkey and Dubai.
They hardly ever do any local weather on the Weather Channel.
Yeah, no, they actually have a little feeder underneath that does it pretty much. They cover it. I would say they cover the local weather.
Local on the 8s. They do.
That's another one. Yeah, but this... Yeah, right. So anyway... So my point is, and I have not come full circle, but I am saying again, get the government out of the pricing mechanism, no matter what.
You must be conflicted, you know.
I am a little bit because I didn't want to ever have to buy. I was going to suffer and never see Monk, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But now I record Monk with the best of them because he's on USA or something like that.
Right.
Love the show, but I had friends of mine do it for me rather than pay those bastards another, you know, whatever it was to get that
$1 million.
Ladies and gentlemen of the world, Jimmy Doan is the cheapest man I've ever met in my life.
Well, actually,
he's rich. He's cheap.
Well, he is penny wise, but he's super pound foolish. Anybody will tell you that.
Yeah, it completely depends.
Yeah, exactly. Everything is relative.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, cheap is relative.
Yeah, cheap. Cheap is relative. That's right. When I've got, you know, I don't know how many. I bought the new laser here. I couldn't pass that up. $5. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that once again, when the government monkeys in the market, strange things happen. I just pray that they don't monkey around.
The FCC is a totally redundant agency.
Oh, anymore they are.
There's just nothing.
And again, once you're entrenched, once you have money, once your ego or your livelihood depends on a mythology, you will believe the mythology as if it's absolute.
Well, they're keeping the airwaves safe for our ears.
You know, handed down to you from God on Mount Hebron or whatever, yeah. In order to get by in life and live in denial. You know, yeah, I do a good job. I'm a good person. I work for the FCC. I screw people for a living. You know,
you help the world by
keeping the airwaves clear
and
smut off of it. No one should be able to see Janet Jackson's nipple.
It is amazing to me, of course, when they showed that clip ad infinitum. I mean, they must have showed that clip a million times on every channel.
Every time.
But they always blurt it out.
Wait, which clip?
The Janet Jackson's clip.
Oh, right.
Now, yeah. It was only shown once in reality because they didn't have the delay. And now, of course, the federal government steps in and says, oh, I'm sorry, you have to have a 7-second delay on your videos. So people now are listening to the Super Bowl halftime in real time on the radio and watching it 7 seconds later on
video.
You people have lost your minds up there.
Wasn't she wearing a pasty on top of that?
Who knows? And who cares?
It was something.
I mean, who cares?
Nipple.
I'm telling you, I was watching.
Who cares?
I mean, who cares?
Me care. I want to see the nipple.
Well, if you can get to see, let me tell you. You talk about obscenity. New York City Blue when they showed Andy what's his face's ass?
Yeah.
On that thing. I mean.
NYPD Blue.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break. I mean, you talk about obscene. Come on. I'm taking nipple any
That's
day.
That's below
of the
my
week.
Community standard.
And he was like the big fat hairy guy, right?
Yeah. Well, he was larger than some.
Larger and not bald. Okay.
That's it. Well, he was bald on top.
It is amazing, though. I mean, Rupert Murdoch was, of course, you know, he's all for keeping the bundling. And again, like you said, their whole deal is that which is funny. Like I saw Lou Dobbs or somebody on there, and they were going, so let me get this straight. So when you bundle these packages together, you do that so you spread the cost of the shows that you, the kind of the must-have, the MTVs and the, you know, C-SPANs or whatever, with all these other channels. And then you take the money from those channels and you support all these smaller networks. And they said, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so that was so. But if we had a la carte pricing, then people could just elect to maybe have some of your smaller ones and the big one, but then not these other ones. But then they might go out of business. Or they would cost more to the consumer. And I'm going, and he goes, well, but isn't that like the market system? Like, decide. I mean, if nobody wants to buy it, then maybe you shouldn't have it. You know, I mean, wouldn't that make sense? And
would it
would it cost more than all of them combined? And I'm like going, you know, and it, really, I wouldn't have an issue if the History Channel for some reason cost more than ESPN. You know, I watch the History Channel more than I watch
ESPN. It's going to a la carte.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's
is because the web is going, at some point in time, which they started with this, I don't know, guess why it didn't actually come down the pipe, but you, at some point in time, we'll be able to plug your TV into the internet.
Right.
And once that happens and your remote has that one little extra button called order, then it is going to be a la carte, which, again, a lot of it is pay-per-view these days.
Well, you can do order now with your little box on the cable.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And what they're going to find is they're going to say, you know, instead of...
You can download Monk for $1.99, I think.
And that's what they're going to find is that instead of $6.95 a day for something, it's going to be $6.95 for the month for something.
Or an episode
or whatever you'd like.
Well, it's $1.99 for a Monk episode.
Yeah. Well, let me just wait.
From where?
From iTunes. Right. Well, and it's that's what I'm saying. In other words, the songs are now, I mean, after all this huge battle about whatever, now you can buy individual songs. You don't have to buy the whole album. For what? $1. Okay. And trust me, it's going to be the same deal as far as TV shows.
But the bottom line is, to be honest with you, I don't care. I mean, I still want
you don't want the government involved.
I don't want them involved at all. And I don't care if Rupert Murdoch makes a mistake. He's done pretty well so far by himself. I don't care if him or any of the Viacom or any of those people, I don't care what they do. Just take away their monopoly. Get away. Yeah, exactly. And it is astounding to me how governments feel that their own monopolies, like here for our utility system or the school system,
those are good monopolies.
Right. But Bill Gates, who has never showed up on my front door with a gun, mm-hmm. never with a badge, never has insisted with force that I buy his product. You know, they haul his ass up in front of Congress like he's some, you know, mafia criminal.
Right.
And I'm thinking at least, you know, Bill Gates could go out of business. If somebody came up with a new Google or somebody else came up with a new browser tomorrow, and it could shift tomorrow morning. And Bill Gates, I'm not going to be broke by any stretch of the imagination, but he might only be down to his last billion or two. And, you know, I feel sorry for the guy, but, you know, he'd probably get by on that.
Not one iota of pity from me to him.
Okay, well, there you are.
So no problem.
But you don't like Bill Gates?
No, it's a great guy.
Oh.
God bless Bill Gates,
but
man.
But the market, am I telling you that the market decides? And it is just, again, I can't stress this too highly. When the government has a monopoly, which is enforced only with a gun, blue lights flashing, dogs, badges, that's the way they enforce their monopoly, and with threats of imprisonment,
badges.
Fines.
We don't need no stinking badges.
That's exactly right.
I don't need no stinking badges.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's good. No, that's we love that one. And that's but people look at this and I think about it. Every time you think about a government regulation or rule, it is basically a gun held to your head, one way or the other. If your leash here in this town, for instance, if your leash is more than three,
but this is for your own benefit.
This is us.
Yeah. I wish the gun were pointing at the other.
We have a little Nazi in the
If
your leash, do you have papers for that dog?
That's right. Well, if your leash is more than three, it's three times the length of the dog, including the tail. Which I'm not sure if you like an Irish Setter or one of those dogs with the tail cut off. I don't know. Three times the length of the dog plus 10 inches. If your leash is longer than that, they can arrest you.
So you have a half-pound chihuahua that's 8 inches long. You're allowed to have a 2-foot leash. Awesome.
I believe that's right.
And just whack that tail off there. Here, I can take care of that, officer.
Yeah, exactly right. Wacko. Well, then, and they are allowed to show up on your property and gain entrance. If somebody reports you, like if they hear a dog, let's say you play, for instance, a dog whining or something, and somebody calls up and says, "Well, I think that person is hurting their dog." They basically can show up on your front door and gain and force you to step aside while they investigate to your dog.
So that's awesome. You put some headphones on, you have your stereo going, and you have like a whining dog, and so your neighbors call the cops, they come over, you can't hear them beating on the door, they bust in, you're listening, you don't move because you don't hear them, and they say, get up, whatever, they shoot you because you're not responding, all because you're listening to the soundtrack of Lady in the Tramp 3, Tramp gets fixed, you know?
That's right, exactly right. Tramp gets fixed. Tramp does not want to go to the vet.
Well, that's amazing to me. The idea that you could be shot by police for not wanting to send your children to school.
Well, they do this. They've done this before. They've done this on several well-renowned basic, you know, that are court cases. You know, the guy that they went on the helicopters flew over, thought they saw marijuana. They went in and they killed the guy. You know, this was done a couple of years ago. This made all the news headlines. And he sued. I think he lost.
The bottom line is don't get suspected.
Don't get suspected.
No, it's over with. It's police state. There's no question.
So we're headed that way and we're having fun doing it. Anyway, fortunately, nobody knows where we are.
Well, let's have fun with some light notes.
Yes, woo! Light notes. Let's move on. Light notes, quickly.
Well, this is something that's going to come down the pipe another thing that we have on our website is you should order a copy of Age of the Spiritual Machines by Kurzweil. Anyway, here comes Y Fidelity. These people invented some software for their specialized MP3 player that allows you to connect to the internet so you can actually download and buy songs right from your MP3 player.
Wow.
And, of course, I was shocked that they didn't already have this in iPods and things like that, but apparently Apple is and other MP3 makers are test marketing their software because these people are like, you know, we can't compete with iPods and these people. Yeah, this company is called Music Gremlin. So it looks as though this is going to be incorporated. So there's a little piece of good news for you.
Well, there's two things to consider here real quick about that. One is that this Tuesday, Apple's having some big announcement in San Francisco. Nobody knows what it is, but it could very well be something like that.
Very well could be.
And you know, they have the local Wi-Fi. We talked about this, I think, on one of the other podcasts. They do have a local super high speed. It's, you know, multi-megabytes per second now up in Cambridge, where it's apparently it's 10 times faster than the – and it's wireless, 10 times faster than the normal internet. High speed, you know, T1 or whatever it is. But right now it's local. Is this the same kind of speed you're talking about with this Wi-Fi here or not? Do you know?
This is for any hotspot. You can just download the songs. Because it doesn't have to play them in real time.
Right.
So in other words, and you can actually, these things can talk to each other. So I could see like what song you're listening to. And, you know, you can turn that feature off if you don't want to be bothered. Or you can text messages to people with your MP3 player. And so in other words, they're kind of...
You're going to need a new keyboard.
Cell phones have already kind of started this. Verizon's got their little download link where you see the guy on the urgent, you know, ad or whatever like that, which I've always said, well, your cell phone's going to be your video recorder, you know, camera, MP3 player, computer.
That's the BlackBerry thing.
Right, BlackBerry.
But, of course, they have their own operating system, and they're getting ready to shut down.
Well, which, by the way, we'll mention that the judge did not issue the injunction shutting them down.
Right. So they have another 30 or 60 days or something? 30 days,
I think. And I'm saying they're not going down.
No. He didn't issue it on Friday.
Right.
He didn't say he wasn't going to issue for another 30, 60 days. No, he's going to do something on Monday.
You think?
No. That's what I heard.
I heard that they were out of the woods for another 30 days at least.
I didn't hear that. I heard he's going to... He's
well, I still don't think they're going to... The judge isn't going to shut him down. I don't think so?
No. But if I was a judge, I'd be fun with
no,
it.
No,
yeah,
no.
You think they make a little money on the side there? Just a little bit. Come on. At least he's got a free blackberry.
I'll tell you.
He collects blackberries.
That's what my English teacher used to say. Somebody asked him one time, you know, Mr. Griswold, would you give me an A on this paper? And he says, can I bribe you? Because a lot of kids that I went to, there were other kids there that were rich. And he said, you'd have to give me enough money so I could retire. And because I'd have to quit at that point. And that's if I were the judge in the Blackberry thing, I'd say, yeah, I mean, figuring out what would it cost for the Costa Rican beachfront home and the sailboat.
$25 million. It's worth it.
In a heartbeat.
Jimmy is kidding. He wouldn't do it.
No. Not in this universe. In Bizarro World, that's what we would do.
Bizarro World.
Hey, I got a light note here.
Okay.
There was an Olympic snowboarder, one of ours. Woman was going to get the gold medal, but
they found THC in her blood and they took it away.
No. On the way down to 30 yards before the finish line or whatever, she performed a quote hot dog move, unquote, which DQ'd her off of the gold and she got the silver.
Really?
Yeah.
It slowed her down. It didn't DQ.
No. It was a penalty.
No.
Yes. A hot dog move. And here's my question. In Olympic snowboarding.
I believe every move begins with hot dog.
Thank you.
Hot dog to the left,
thank
hot dog
you.
Twist and a curl.
Where did they draw the line for us lay people that this move was going to corrupt us? You know, oh, we can't watch her doing this last hot dog move. You know,
there was no undergarments were displayed or anything.
Apparently not.
Because, you know, that's what they... Remember when we went out to Steamboat, you know, you used to have to throw off your mink coat and jump naked into the water.
Yeah, yes. No, ski down off the slope, right? And you're going up the slope, you take the robe off and you go flying off.
And do a flip into the heated pool.
Into the heated
and
pool.
And naked women were doing
woo-hoo.
That. It was cool. Those are the old good old days.
Now, this is not that kind of a hot dog movie. She didn't strip all her clothes off.
This is one of the reasons why somebody has come up with this thing and they said, what constitutes a sport? And they said anything that's subjective, I don't care how much it is not a sport. And here's the way it works is this. If you have to be good looking to win or have a judge say, okay, that's a triple sol cow, whatever it is, and yours was better than his or something in order to win, that's not a sport. Whereas you can be as ugly as Rumpelstiltskin, and if you win by a tenth of a second in the whatever race, you win.
There's no question.
There's no
you
question.
Won by
you
a tenth
won.
Of a second.
And that's a sport. And not to take anything away from ballet dancing.
Gratefully, that's not a sport.
You throw some skis on it.
Skate dancing is a sport. And you can get a gold medal in. Whereas, of course, as you said, how can you DQ? I understand how you can DQ somebody when they come down and do the giant slalom, for instance, and they miss the peg.
Right.
But as far as I know, you could do a flip on the way down and nobody would care on the giant slalom. But now you're telling me somebody did a hot dog move on, and so apparently
an Olympic snowboarding.
You know what I mean? But apparently so it didn't matter that she won. Yeah, right. Snowboarding. Okay. Here's the sport that is defined by hot dogging, but you can't
hot dog.
But you can't hot dog.
Yeah, boy, that's pretty.
Well, of course,
good.
This reminds me a little
hot
bit
dog
of
and weed.
This, of course, what gets me is how football has gotten some. You know, when you're not allowed to dance in the end zone anymore.
Right. That's bullshit.
Can you imagine? Bullshit. I mean, if you take like 3 steps, but don't jump higher than 6 inches, it's okay. No penalty. Right. But if you can drop the ball on the ground, but apparently if you
swing
it.
The ball.
Yeah. Well, of course,
what constitutes a spike?
Well, exactly. I mean,
well, that thing that I've just driven through her head, that's a spike.
You know, that I can understand. As we talked about last week, I don't understand why kitchen sweeping is an Olympic sport.
Well, it is. Curling.
I know, but I'm telling you, they ought to be in the kitchen for this. Right, I mean, there's ladies in the kitchen, you get to sweep up.
And by the way, congratulations to the,
be paying for that one,
the USA men's team got second in curling.
Mm.
So
how did the little girls do?
We were up at the top, But I don't know. I didn't watch the end. I was riveted.
Puberty set in on the youngest girl and threw her game off, right? Isn't that what it was?
Well, I can tell you that I watched it, and of course, you look at this. It's kind of like shuffleboard, right?
Yeah.
Except with sweeping.
Right.
Okay. But I understand.
Sweeping.
Well,
it's a very clean sport.
I looked at that and I thought, to me, it's not as bad as cricket, which nobody understands except an actual cricket player. But I was watching them bump this stuff out, and they would sit there and they'd say something like, well, she got two rings and a something. And I'm going like, what? You know, I can understand baseball easier than I can understand curling. I suppose.
Yeah, I was watching the curling. I was trying to pay attention to see who would win. But then I had to perform surgery on myself. And so I couldn't stay around.
Stitch my eyes open because I was just
closed.
Absolutely.
That's right. Stitching closed.
Well, I don't understand why you guys are bugging on this thing. If you think about it, this is a sport that if we tried, we could actually still win a gold medal.
Hey, I'm a contender.
Jimmy Doan, you could be a contender.
Actually, there's some truth to that.
There's much truth to that. That's why I just want to keep that.
Yeah, you don't have to be like young. You don't have to be like 16 and in perfect shape to be the curling girl. You know, you can have the 65.
You probably have to be a girl.
Well, there's some men's curling.
Okay.
What if you had a sex change?
Does that count?
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if that would affect.
If that gives you an advantage.
Whatever happened with that tennis player, Renee Richards?
Aerodynamic.
Did she compete in women's after she had the sex change to
a
woman?
She did for a while.
Yeah, she did for a while. She was here in town one time, as a matter of fact. And somebody said some girl that I knew was in the bathroom, and she heard this, well, hi there, good to see you. Whoops. Wait a minute, who's that?
You know? Have you seen my balls?
That's it.
Oh, God. All right, any more light notes?
Yeah, I got a few. I got a couple science updates. We get to see, of course, if NASA decided to dot all their I's, or more importantly, include those hyphens and convert from metric to English, as they put this Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter into orbit around Mars.
It's a good place for the Mars 10th. If you're going to have a Mars Reconnaissance, I would say that's a good place for it. Where's your Mars Reconnaissance around Venus? Why?
Venus,
why do you ask?
Should have taken that left at Albuquerque. Just missed it again.
Exactly.
It's either 300 meters or 300 miles, but other than that, it starts with an M. Close enough for me.
It's in space. There's no gravity. It'll slow down. It'll bounce off.
This has got all the next-gen stuff on it, including ground-penetrating radar, so we'll get to see, you know, what's really
Well, of course, by the time it gets there, it'll be last gen.
Right. Well, it'll be, you know, first.
We won't be able to communicate.
Well, they have that one.
We won't be able to communicate with it. Our technology will evolve faster. No, it's only been gone 7 months.
I did see
Pluto one. Maybe
I remember one of my favorite science fiction stories was where they talked about the first half or three quarters of the story was where these people were all going to go to the next star or something like that. A couple of stories, and they had all the big discussion about the suspended animation and all this stuff, and when they showed up, you know,
it was already colonized.
It's like, oh yeah, well, after you left, we had FTL, and you know, we've been here for 30 years.
Right.
How was your sleep?
How was it?
You know, nap? Did you dream of much?
Yeah, right, exactly.
We couldn't be arrested, you know. Okay.
No, that's great.
We also had a supernova go off here.
Where?
Yeah.
Yeah, kaboom.
440 million light years away. That's not going to carry it away.
No,
it's not far away.
Well, it's not even in the local group. It's like in the...
Like you want one in the local group.
Well, no, you don't. You don't.
Well, if it's 440 million, then it's
the Jimmy Doan Ashes show.
You'd be a little tanner today.
Somebody did figure out that if like the closest one went nova supernova,
we'd be done.
Yeah, and that's over 4.5 light years or something.
Oh, of course that. We'd be done if it was anywhere within 50 light years.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, 50 light years or something like that.
No,
a couple hundred. No, it's a big deal.
It's a big
it's
large,
a big deal.
That's like more than C4.
Yeah,
that's more than C7. Okay,
it's a
lot of energy.
The cool thing was our little Swift satellite picked up the gamma ray burst, and everybody's tuning their telescopes on it to check it out. And again, they say you can't see it with binoculars, but if you have a decent power telescope, you can.
On the next supernova, could we get some advance warning?
We will. We'll get a few, depending on how close it is. We'll get a little bit of advance warning from the Swift satellite. The problem is that very shortly afterward, if it was close enough, we'd all be just fried. It doesn't matter if you're in China, you're still going to get cooked.
Okay, so how fast does this? I'm trying to figure out is it must be just under the speed of light.
No, it's always speed of light.
The explosion, the particles.
No, the gamma rays go faster.
Faster than light.
That's what they say.
No. They probably just get released first.
Good enough for that.
Get Stephen Hawking over here.
Yeah, well, okay.
Get
him on the line.
It all goes at light speed.
Don't worry, you guys right.
What I'm saying,
exactly.
But what I hear is the deal, though. I just think that it, like, if our sun blew up, could we get some advance notice?
Yeah, yeah. 4 minutes.
Well, you'd see it.
Eight minutes.
Yeah, you'd see it, right? Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, what you do is you put a satellite real close, and then it radios back.
That's what I meant. If you radio back.
Uh-huh.
And so we, no. Isn't that going to work?
For all of our non-technical listeners, please go back to science school and take a class.
That's what I'm...
You'll understand the joke.
But see, this is the beauty of it is what we do is we put... this is what I thought they were doing with Voyager. You know, they sent it out there past the thing, and I figured out there near Pluto or something like that, it could send us... Like, if there's a light-speed blast that comes from another star, we could contact Voyager, and it would tell us ahead
of
time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to light notes. Comedic actor Don Knotts died.
Oh, man.
So did
Darren McGavin.
So did Darren McGavin.
Yeah. Who is he?
Darren McGavin was the Night Stalker.
Night Stalker.
Among other things. He was
Barney Fife was huger than
Barney.
McGavin.
Yeah, that's, and he was in his 80s, but I mean, Barney hung on for a long time.
Yeah.
He was also, didn't Barney go into the, wasn't he with Three's Company?
He was with Three's Company.
He was Mr. Roper's
cousin.
Yeah.
Mr. Roper's cousin. I mean,
his last film debut was in Pleasantville. He played the...
Yes.
Did he really? I can't do it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, can't somebody here do a Don Knotts?
What? No. Well, I don't know where my bullet is.
All right.
Well, Andy.
That one bullet.
Andy, where's Andy? Where's Aunt B, Andy? I'm coming to join Aunt B.
So, yeah, I didn't know this, but the show ran from 1960 to 68. Of course, we're talking about Andy Griffith. And it was in the top 10 of the Nielsen ratings each season, including number one, ranking its final year. So it's only one of three series in TV history to bow out at the top. The others were I Love Lucy and Seinfeld.
Right.
249 episodes have appeared frequently in reruns and spawned a large active network of fan clubs.
And it also, if you look at it, you can tell it went from black and white to color someplace.
That's right.
It switched.
That's right. And Don Knotts won 4 or 5 Emmys for his work.
And his favorite episodes, he said, were the pickle story, where Aunt Bee makes pickles no one can eat them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
Sounds
one.
Like a government plan to me.
Yeah.
And Barney in the choir, where no one can stop him from singing.
That's a great one. I still remember that one.
And Gomer Pyle's got the great voice.
No, it wasn't Gomer. It was the big farmer guy. It was the big farmer guy. Gomer had the great voice too, but the big farmer guy was, and he was like Pavarotti.
He was like lower.
So Barney was always bummed he could never sing, but he's glad that at least they made some jokes about it.
Oh, he's singing in the heavenly choir now.
Right now he can. Right, exactly. Did you hear that iTunes sold their 1 billionth song?
Yeah, you know it's funny because I was thinking since I subscribed to iTunes, I thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot, and of course the guy got, you know, 20 iPods and everything, 30 gig.
I mean, he got a 20-inch iMac, 10 iPods, and a $10,000 gift card from the iTunes store.
Now, the thing that I did when they announced it, I went on and they had a countdown counter, and I did a mathematical thing, and I figured it was going to take 27 days, and it took like 15.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody was on there. I was going to go in there and time it so that I would buy the one song on the billionth thing.
Sure.
But then...
Yeah. I see, but you blew it.
That's when the satellite told you that the star blew up.
That's right. It was synchronized.
Boom!
So he downloaded...
I was going to put a virus on there so that it would send me a message that says 1 billion coming up.
This is kind of... It was called Speed of Sound, and it was a song that he downloaded from some band called Coldplay, and album was X and
some
Y.
Some band called Coldplay?
I don't listen to Coldplay. Okay. But anyway, the interesting part was that Apple is establishing a scholarship at Juilliard School in this guy's name, Alex Ostrovsky.
Boy, I'll tell you, that'd be worth it by itself.
That'd be pissing me off is what that would be.
From living in West Bloomfield, Michigan. You know, so anyway, he's...
I'm sure he's from a fairly well-to-do family, and he's not starving.
West Bloomfield is, yeah.
Well, no, he was begging his parents to get him a computer, and now he's got one. So anyway, that's his deal. So, you know, he can buy 10,000 more copies of his Coldplay song.
Actually, I would like to revisit that story we're talking about, the supernova. Is it possible that there is a black hole closer to us than we know? that could potentially...
We already discussed that a week ago.
It's a black hole. You can't see it.
Yeah.
How would you know?
I see the hair around it. Get off my ass.
There is a singularity. We talked about this, I think, didn't we? There's a singularity here in the washing machine.
I don't think we talked about it.
We didn't talk about that, the socks?
Yes, that's right.
Did we talk about it?
At some point, we all know that the socks do go into the singularity in the machine, and that does...
And they come out in another one.
Right.
Yeah, that was... I have an exit, at least, to a wormhole. And I know, because I end up with extra socks every time I do
them. See, what I thought the socks were is I thought they were... One was sacrificed to the dryer god, and then it ends up in the lint collector, see? That's what I always thought. So I've always saved my lint, and I've stitched socks on them.
That's a thought, and we've done the same thing here. That's one of the reasons this house stays cool is we have our entire attic is lint covered.
We'll get Hawking to comment
on that. Yeah, that's
right.
Let's find out this one. Because I think I
just send him one of your socks. I'm sure.
Could you please analyze it?
I probably already sent
Stephen
him
Hawking killed today by
choked on a sock.
Odiferous source.
Mine's a Maytag, and so I'm pretty sure if he has a Maytag washer that it's he already has one of my socks.
He's busily working on that right now. I can see it.
That's where he is. He's out in the garage.
Carry the one. Minus
this
the
looks like another one of Jimmy Doan's socks.
Well, I'm going to smell suspiciously of that.
Well, yes, you remember,
do you remember that one where they had they were caught in the Star Trek where they were caught in the time warp?
The next generation. The ship kept blowing up?
No, it kept. They were caught in a time
loop
where they didn't realize it at first, and what they did was they implanted data
with
a special some kind of thing so they could get out of it.
Right.
The number two.
The number three.
Or the number three or whatever.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
But that was one of their better ones, I think.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But so I'm thinking along the same lines here somehow with this, with what I'm going
to
do.
Well, we'll just put whatever message we need to Stephen in the socks.
In the socks.
I'm saying
right.
There must be a way to weave it in there.
Right. Yes. So it's called a sewing machine.
No. It's like the same kind of thing where they. What's that science called where they put the messages in the pictures? It sounds like another.
Just write on a piece of paper and
fractal,
stuff it inside.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to work. I'm going to make a micro something or another. Micro thread.
Micro dot.
Yeah.
Well, I told you that I was going to put all my. I'm going to auction off on eBay. I've got a stack of socks here that are singles. I'm going to put them on eBay.
On Valentine's Day.
You don't understand that they're good for a lot of things. As you know, they use I was
sock puppets.
That's sock puppets
thing.
Are one thing, but also
make
as
a very poor condom.
No, they yeah.
Well, they're good at cleaning up messes like that. Well,
they are, but also they make good pop filters for microphones. Right. I was thinking about if you put them on the microphone, they make a good pop filter.
Right.
A lot of people don't. I was listening to one of these Spanish ones that I'm listening to here, and the guy goes all the time, and it's. I told him to put a sock on it. I think that's
that rascal.
But I'm thinking if somebody. What I was thinking about when I put my socks on eBay, should I lay them all out so somebody can see if they have the matching one? And
No. Just take a picture of one and say, take your chances.
All right.
Take your chances.
Well, I was thinking about
the sock lotto.
Well, no. The other thing I was thinking about doing was to put them in a mound because it's about 3 feet tall and about 3 feet wide. I'd make it like a pyramid and just take a picture of the pyramid.
Yeah.
That's because that's what they're going to get. Priority mail.
Priority mail.
Pile of socks.
No, and they're clean.
Right. Oh, that's nice.
No, that came out of the washer.
Oh, right.
So,
well, the dryer.
The dryer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they came out of the washer first.
Right.
Well, some of them did. I don't know about all of them.
Some of them appeared in the dryer afterwards.
Well, I was thinking that
for Stephen Hawking monograms.
Well, I thought that maybe in this wormhole there was in kind of a stasis thing like Scotty was
in the transporter.
In the transporter. Right. And maybe they send two or three of them in there and they like mate and then they send a couple back. That are different, slightly
That's
different colors.
That's where all the new socks come
That's
from.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't understand how Penny
That's
sells
That's how they
a
got one. Argyle.
That's exactly right.
Well, that works. Did you see the wackiest street names on the news?
No.
There's a street called Psychopath was voted number one.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Actually, let's do number, I'll read them real quick. Number 10 was Tater Peeler Road in Lebanon, Texas. 9 was the intersection of Count and Basie in Richmond, Virginia. Uh-huh. 8 was Shades of Death Road in Warren County. A lot of death stuff. 7 was Unexpected Road in Buena, New Jersey. 6 was Bucket of Blood Street.
You'll come upon an unexpected road. Street.
Unexpected Road, right.
Take that left right now.
All right, 6, a Bucket of Blood Street in Holbrook, Arizona. I love the, it's like The Simpsons where he goes, the elevator opens up and he goes, that's strange, the blood usually gets up on the second floor. And they're staying in that haunted mansion, the Shining. Number 5, the intersection of Clinton and Fidelity in Houston.
Oh, yeah!
Number
That'll
4.
That'll happen.
4 was the
intersection. That's not a real intersection.
No, they did verify that these street names did exist. The intersection of Lonesome and Hardup in Albany, Georgia. Number 3, I kind of like this one. Far from Poopin' Road in Tennessee. That's the only road that goes up to Constipation Ridge.
Oh, my Lord.
2 is Divorce Court in Heather Highlands, Pennsylvania. And then number 1, Psychopath. There you go.
You know, you could, when you think about it, I'm surprised that people. If you have a street, for instance, named after the Wright brothers,
right?
You know, you take a left on Wright Street, right on Wright. Right. Well, I don't know.
Yep. Did you see the psychics join the search for that missing show dog?
Yes, I saw that. They had like 30 psychics.
Yeah.
I know what happened to the dog, by the way.
You do?
Oh yeah.
You're one of the psychics. What happened to the
dog? She's got a great insurance policy on the dog. It is. In the sewer in many little pieces.
Ah, the insurance policy trick, yeah.
Oh, ye old, okay, you lost, you piece of sack of shit. No problem.
Yep,
and it's got like 100, I don't know how much it is, but it's...
That's a chunk.
I love the...
They fed it to the alligators.
I love the quote from one of the psychics says, or the person, they tell us that she is alive and they are telling us she is warm. And
good point.
And they are saying she's in a building, but there are hundreds of buildings around here.
So. Let's see.
What happens when you get psychics that like disagree?
Wow, there's a tremor in the force.
I guess. It's, yeah, tremor in the
force. She's warm. No, she's cold. No, she's warm. No.
I'm feeling
we
warm
have a,
here.
We have a temporal, what do you have, a temporal sunami.
Vortex.
a temporal sunami that rips through the entire known time continuum and kills us all.
Right. So
I'm definitely feeling warm. Well, your hand's on the burner there. Oh.
There was this cool thing. This company, talk about startups. It's called
Wait a minute. Let me go back for a second. You're going to hold that thought. I just remembered, I was reading in the paper here, they interviewed somebody that was a retired psychic. How do you retire from being a psychic? I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
What? Well, I mean, what?
Okay. How do you seeing the future?
Well, I forgot the future, man.
I took your hat off.
Yeah, the tin foil. Yeah,
right.
I ran out of tin foil.
Tin foil and hangers. Come on.
There's a business here called, this is in Fortune magazine, Diana's Homegrown. It's a startup business, but they invented this really cool thing. And they call them the Space Age Sandwich, and they invented this particular way to package a sandwich. They seal the sandwich inside of this bag, and then they put all the condiments and fillings inside of another bag inside of the bread. So when you actually open up the package that holds the bread, there's like a little rip cord in there, and you rip that out, and then the filling disperses inside the French roll, or whatever different rolls you can have. But the benefit is that these sandwiches stay good, unrefrigerated for more than a month. So that's pretty cool.
And you can smuggle stuff into them.
Depending on what's in the pouch.
Right.
You can smuggle it. So I thought that's kind of Target.
The ripcord.
Target's picking it up. And so I guess you might see these things.
Target is picking them up.
Sandwich in a bag.
Yeah, sandwich in a bag. That was pretty cool. He's expecting his sales to rise from 150,000 in 2005 to 4.2 million this year, or 108 truckloads of the stuff. So good going for Reggie Alsbrook.
Precisely.
55 years old.
What is meat?
Tuna,
uncured,
turkey, and whatever you want. It's
less
all kind of chicken.
Unrefrigerated.
How much they are.
It's sealed in a bag like you'd have. And with the mayonnaise and everything else, it's all like in a bag. I don't know. That's the point. Even longer.
I'll show you like the bags of tuna and stuff like that. That kind of
It's. all the guts of the sandwich are all sealed hermetically in some kind of special thing.
No, I get it. So you have the bread, yeah, and then everything else is sealed inside a separate
pouch. That's right. So
I misunderstood.
So what you do is you pull this ripcord and it opens that up simultaneously, pulling the condom,
the
sack out, right, leaving the sandwich material inside the sandwich.
Leaving
now.
Right in the center. Okay.
So that's a pretty good idea, I thought.
It is a good idea. I remember when I was a kid, Mom used to make me, when I took sandwiches to school, I would go with peanut butter and jelly. But whenever,
but she made them that day.
When you put a tomato, yeah, and then wrap it up in white,
soggy bread.
Sog City, yeah. I'm telling you. So these are like MREs, only they're good for a month and you can buy them at Target.
Yeah, and, I mean, apparently so. And
can't have tomato.
And again, they are, you know, it's like a good deli sandwich. And you can refrigerate it later if you want it cold or whatever. Well, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it's an MRE.
If any of the Jimmy Doan listeners out there.
And Jimmy will give the test. He'll give a review on it. We'll have the Jimmy Doan review.
I'll put this one aside.
Anybody has them, send a couple over here so we can try them out. We'll have a tasting on the air.
Okay. Man accused of killing roommate over toilet paper.
I heard that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Can you imagine? Well, it's, you know.
Moss Bluff, Florida. I don't know. Where is that, Jimmy?
You're asking
me? That's here, Ocala.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Moss Bluff, Florida. Yeah, near Ocala. And
these two mid-50-year-olds are out there.
Do you think this guy had a...
50-year-olds.
Do you think he had issues or something? I mean...
you got to be kidding me.
Well, you got to be.
You didn't put the toilet paper back on. God damn it.
Somebody obviously ran out
something
of
like
his
that?
Praxel or Zoloft or whatever.
Paxil or Zoloft.
Yeah, no.
They were fighting about the toilet paper when one of them pulled out a rifle, and then the other one started beating him with a sledgehammer and a claw hammer, and the guy would beat him up so badly they had to identify him through his fingerprints. So.
That's a bad beating.
You know what that is? That's a bad move. He had a rifle, and he let someone kill him with a hammer.
Yeah.
I'm not certain
maybe
that...
he didn't have it loaded.
I think he's got Darwin working against him there.
Yeah, no question about that.
Well, anyway, they're all taken care of now.
And?
Last thing I got is... actually, two things. Did you see that beluga whale that was blowing those perfect bubbles?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The scuba divers go down there, and there's a beluga whale in Japan in an aquarium, and the scuba divers take the regulator out and give the whale some air to put in their lungs, and they blow these perfect, like, bubble rings against the glass at the little girls and boys that were out there. Yeah, it's pretty intense. I saw a video of it. It was really neat.
No way.
It's on the news, yeah. But beluga whales are the only marine animal that can actually curl its lips into a perfect O.
Okay. Did you notice that Jimmy was stunned there?
Yeah. No, if you get on to SeaWorld here.
I've seen that. They do kind of smile, but they got those lumps on the head, and they're white mostly.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Good eating.
Good eating, that's right. That's why they call them beluga.
Beluga.
That's why they call them beluga.
I know why they call them beluga now. See.
All right, last thing I got. Man sells holy hardware on eBay. This guy...
The hammer that nailed Christ to the cross.
This guy was basically, he's unloading supplies for his job at Hardee's Hardware when he caught something odd caught his eye. The face of Jesus Christ on a piece of sheet metal. It's one of those things. It's a blurred out whatever, but it's Jesus.
Well, that chick got like $30,000 for her.
$25 for the sandwich or the
piece of bread or
whatever. Yeah, and actually,
potato chip. We've got big money.
Potato chip, yeah. And they've also, those
man,
things
it's time
all,
to start making.
I'm going to start making this.
That's what I was thinking. He's weak at action.
Take that back. Erase that. No, we're not going to make them.
Yeah.
They'll be all natural.
I mean, find them.
Yeah, find them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jimmy Doan, you need to go out there and stick your face in the mud and put a cloth on it, and it looks like Jesus. Wiping my face off when I was out in the garage, and all of a sudden,
it reminds me.
Shroud of Turin. We can use your bed sheets and call it the second, you know,
the second coming. we know how that works, and well, it reminds me of the in the Forrest Gump. You know, when the guy wiped his face off and made the millions off the smiley face.
So I mean, we got to do something.
Jesus or smiley, I don't care.
Jesus or Jimmy.
That's it. Jesus or Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you got to be kidding me. So $10,000 is his buy it now price for this piece of sheet metal.
I wonder why you would bother. What a piece of, you know, you find something like that for free.
He's bothering because this chick just got $25,000 for her potato chips.
Yeah, I know that, but why would you put a buy it now on there? I would think you would, you know, like.
Because he's ready for the $10,000. It's February 26th. Do the math. Rent's coming up here
in
2 days.
$10,000?
You know, well, he wants to make sure he can pay them the following few months' rent, too, you know.
Let me just see here out of curiosity. Let me see what Jesus looks like. I'm on eBay now.
Sheet metal, and, right?
Okay, let me just see here. This is Jesus, okay? It's probably under collectibles, eh?
Probably.
Type okay. Jesus. And I did type in Jesus, and I'm trying to look here real quick to holiday seasonal cultures. Photographic images, you think?
No.
No?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe. I mean, okay. I don't know. The last time you photographed
image?
Jesus.
How about icons?
How about sheet metal?
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Why don't you do the correct search but to sheet metal?
Here's a piece of wood.
No.
Okay, that's not it. All right. Let me just see here. Piece of wood, no vintage, no. There's aspen, another burl wood. No,
okay,
that's not it.
Put,
granite piece of wood.
Why don't you put Jesus in sheet metal?
Here it is. No, it's $1,000 so far. Is what a Jesus on a piece of sheet metal. Here it is, right here. Mowing lawn.
Mowing? Jesus mowing lawn?
No, apparently the bidding, the minimum price on it is $1,000. Starting bid is $1,000.
Okay, he said they placed the minimum at $1,995 as of Saturday afternoon.
Well, as of right this second.
Now, this is Thomas Haley, or we don't know.
This is, where is it from? Beverly Hills, California?
No, Manchester, Connecticut.
Nope, different one. Image of Jesus on a piece of sheet metal mowing lawn.
That's not Jesus.
That's not the right one.
That's
okay.
Some little girl.
This is a different one.
All righty. Well, I can tell you right now, wow. Pita bread. There's one. No, it's okay. It's not here. But I'll take a look one more time. Just to see here. I looked under Jesus' image.
I got an image of Jesus on this Bible here. I'd like to sell.
I got this image of Jesus from this church sculpture that I
stole. I got this big marble Jesus that I took from Holy Faith Catholic Church. I mean, that I
had
an
amazing likeness of Jesus on the cross.
Just found it that way.
Nope. Let me put it this way. It's not. There's nothing on here. There is one, though.
Maybe they took it off.
16 sheets of Simpsons Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Somebody probably bought it.
I might have to bid on that.
All right. Well.
Okay, no problem.
We'll figure it all out.
Okay, fine.
Anything else?
No. Done. Done.
Woo-hoo!
Whoa, okay. Okay, well, just as a reminder, don't forget to go see Stefan Molyneux and his freedomain.com for the theoretical, the super theory on libertarian stuff. Rugalita. And don't forget to see the Rugalita.com. Oh, we ought to do Rugalita.com. Hanger Dogs, H-A-N-G-A-R, dogs. They're always funny. And Blast the Right with Jack... What's his last name? Jackson?
Ass.
Yeah, ass, right. Yep, the mind of the lefty, boy. I'll tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. I had somebody write in, Mark or Mike or somebody wrote in. I forget who it was. We do have new listeners, by the way, from Japan.
Oh, irashaimase.
That's right. Kimosabi. No, that's not right.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, that's right. Ohio Osama. That's great.
Did you say Ohio Osama?
Ohio
Bin Laden?
Ohio Osama, yeah, that's right.
Write us at jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
Yeah, jimmy@jimmydoan.com. Look for emails, and you can go ahead and rate us on, or write us a review on iTunes.
Yeah. And also, I put up a link on our site if you can click here to be added to our mailing list.
Oh, that's right.
But you have to fill out, it's on the index page, but you have to fill out the subject and the body. Just tell us what's going on.
And if you're a babe, send us a picture.
Yeah, exactly. Attach whatever the picture or
preferably new. I mean, a new picture.
That's right.
Not an old one.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man. We love you.